Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for being here today to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You can take your red pads and pass them down with your name, address, and any information that you need to give us, maybe email or something, or phone number, or your address might have changed, and we would like to know that. The March Madness Food Challenge by the deacons, just under 60 pounds still needed. So time is getting close, doing this through March for March Madness. So continue to bring the food in for the food bank in Edna. A lot of people are hungry. A lot more people are out of work than have been in a long time. And so let's do what we can to help them. When you go to the grocery store, just buy a few extra cans of food and bring it on down to the church. Mind you, the nursery is open every Sunday, and junior church is the first every Sunday but the last Sunday of the month. And you can think about giving to One Great Hour of Sharing and just designate it an official day for it as Palm Sunday. Annual congregation meeting will be held this morning after worship. Reports are on the back table in the narthex, and this will be dealing with the financial report from last year and election of any officers that are appropriate. I remind you, at Easter, we'll have Easter egg hunt at 9:30. Hope you can come down for that with rolls and coffee. It's always a nice time. Very excited about the Lay Sunday on April the 7th. I will be here, and you can talk with myself, Arlie Cornelius, or I think there's still a sign-up sheet on the back. I've had several people sign up for this. Bill is going to preached a sermon, and some other people have signed up to do readings, and we still need a few people, many people we can get involved. It would be nice to have you take over the service, and so that would be really, really nice. And after that, the deacons are sponsoring a donut Sunday. Sign up for the Easter flowers. The luncheon is this Thursday, March 21st at 11:30. You can come down and eat or get a takeout, or you can make a pie or come down and help. And you can contact Linda Lombardi Meyer about that, or you can call the church office. We'll be talking about the Bible series more. An announcement, and some of you got this in the email. Beginning April 1st, Clara Kaler will serve as our clerk of session. Shawnee Mueller, our current clerk, will be stepping down at the end of March. Shawnee believes her ability to serve as clerk is being hampered by increased work responsibilities. She will remain an active elder on session council. Thank you, Clara, for stepping forward and serving our session council. And thank you, Shawnee, for your past service. We look forward to continuing the Lord's work at Glenshell Valley, and we thank both of you and thank everyone on session and the church. Shawnee's done an outstanding job with her time, and we really do appreciate it. And Clara's been clerk before, and we expect everything to go smoothly. she's giggling. have high expectations. Got some material from Camp Crestfield. It is our Presbyterian church just right outside of Slippery Rock. I put some materials on the table in the back, put a couple of things on the bulletin board. There's a list of all the activities. They're having some famine retreats, a confirmation retreat. There's a women's retreat in April. A tweener retreat, that's grades 4 to 6. There's a men's retreat in September. A tweener retreat in October. A middle school retreat, a Christmas camp. There are all kind of different things going on. And so you can pick up the little booklet in the back. There's still one left, and I'll leave this one up here. And the website is just crestfield.net. So if you want to look it up and read about it, crestfield.net. And I'm publicizing this in hopes that if any youth want to go, that you'll let us know as quickly as possible, and we will apply for a scholarship for it to go. We've done that in the past, and a good portion of it has been paid. So talk to me about it if you would like to go, because some people have more than one child, and we want to make sure that if you want to go, that you're able to go, because camp is so important. And I remember being sent to a camp when I was a youth on a scholarship 2 different years, and it's, I still have those memories in my mind. So hope that some people will go and take advantage of it. Let's see. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn. Dear Heavenly Father, we worship you as a God of victory. We believe that you are all-powerful and can accomplish whatever you desire. Forgive us for not believing that you can deliver us from our sins. Help us find the confidence to step forward in faith. Show us how to be set free from our bad habits and addictions. May we move from victim to victor in our life with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Together as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into
I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another.
Thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Cliff. Thank you very much. See, y'all missed all my announcements. A lot of them were about Camp Crestfield and sending a child to camp, and there's some women's retreats and men's retreats and different things. I'm trying to get scholarships for any kids from my church that would like to go, so you can contact me about that. And there's some information on the back table and on the bulletin board. Most of the other ones were in the bulletin. Except for the clerk announcement, I'll stick that on the bulletin board also. The responsive reading is Perseverance 675. 675. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of a God in Christ Jesus. Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us.
Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings. The Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. For on the way the entrance into the For in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you.
Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life.
Now to
now call El on the door to come forth for the prayer requests.
Good morning. Prayer requests this morning. Kathy Segi asked for prayer for her aunt Margie Long, who is having increased health problems related to her cancer. We also have a prayer request from Lynn Love for her family. They will be traveling to Tucson, Arizona this week, and she asks for prayers for a safe trip and a safe return home. Mary Slover has a praise request. She's thankful that her surgery went well, as are we. Kathy Segi has a praise request. thanking that her nephew Brandon has gotten a good job and asked for prayers that he's able to keep that job. And it's not often that our prayers and our praise also relate directly to the announcements, but I think this is one that can't be overstated and we can't have too much prayer. So we have a praise request thanking Shawnee for having served as clerk, and we have a prayer request for Clara as she steps up for as clerk. So, as I said, I don't think any of those can be said too often. So those are the prayers for this week.
And remind you to continue to look at your bulletin and your Valley newsletter, and continue to pray for Leb. She's here with us in service today, and welcome her. And upcoming surgery for Paul Kozerhook. He's here with us today, and the mass this, within him as they took the test is inconclusive, so they are going to operate on him, so he'll be going to see the doctor, and we'll get more details on that. So continue to pray for Paul and his family. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day feeling sometimes that we have been victimized by society, by life itself, that can be hard, sometimes even feels cruel. But when we develop a relationship with you and accept you into our heart and become Christians, we have the comfort of knowing that you are there with us all the time, every step of our life, that you never leave us and you never forsake us. It does not guarantee us that we will not have troubles and trials and tribulation, but we know that we have the guarantee of our faith, that we have eternal salvation waiting for us, and we have the abundant life here on this earth within us. Help us to hold true to the path that you have laid out for each and every one of us. Help us not turn aside from our faith because of the trials, whether they be financial or spiritual or mental or relationships, whatever they might be. Help us to keep our eyes focused upon you and the prize that is laid out before us, eternal salvation forever and ever. Lord, we lift up everyone who has been mentioned this day, those silent prayer requests that are being whispered to you, that some seem so private, some too shy maybe to speak out. We come into agreement, knowing that our prayers are heard and believing that they are answered according to your wisdom. Help us to accept the answer and to move forward with our lives. Thank you for the stories within the scripture that guide us and help us and embolden us. And thank you for this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us the our hymn, very appropriate, Victory in Jesus, 473.
Thank you.
Let's bow in a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, a glorious day because you are in our lives. You are in heaven, but you are also with us, and we thank you for that. You went to the cross that we might have salvation. You rose from the grave, and you ascended into heaven. You have power and authority, and we thank you for the gifts that you have sent to the church to empower us for your glory, not for ours. Thank you for every gift that is used for your glory to build up the church of Jesus Christ here at Glenshaw Valley. Lead us, guide us, direct us. Help us be true, loving people. Lord, thank you for everything. We pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen. Thank you. Is anyone this morning here for the first time for this Bible series? Trying to decide whether to put all that introduction part into it. I can skip that, I think, so that'll save us a few minutes. It was May 1940. The Allied French and British forces had been badly defeated by Germany in the Battle of France. Around 350,000 men, including the entire British army, were backed up against the sea at the port of Dunkirk on the coast of France. They were sitting ducks. Their days were certainly numbered. They were certain to be wiped out at any moment. 350,000 men. Far too many to be evacuated by sea. And the Germans were certainly to press their advantage. German planes had only to bomb and strafe. Okay, bombs are about to fall from the sky. Okay, let me get this set so. 350,000 men up against the sea, far too many to be evacuated by sea, and the Germans were certain to press their advantage. German planes had only to bomb and strafe the troops from the sky. And the British commander at Dunkirk offered a cryptic message, a three-word message to the people of England, "But if not." It was a reference to the words from the Hebrews in the book of Daniel, who refused to bow to King Nebuchadnezzar's image, saying, "The God we serve is able to save us, but if not, we will not bow." It was a message of courage and defiance against impossible odds. The King of England issued a call for prayer and a call for help. The weather forecast changed and often grounding German planes. And soon nearly 800 fishing boats, yachts, and merchant vessels joined the Navy to ferry those soldiers to safety over the course of 10 days. To this day, it is called the Miracle at Dunkirk. As it turned to certain annihilation as a reason for hope, apparent victims lived to fight another day and eventually emerged victors. It is a story that still inspires the British nation to this day, as many of the stories of the Bible inspire us to this day. They explain where we've come from. They shed light on who we are as a people. They guide our steps as we move forward in life. That is why we're retelling these stories, and I hope that you are watching the Bible. And some of you missed the first, but they are rebroadcasting some of them before on the same nights or on Wednesday nights, so you can catch up, I believe. And then we're having the Bible study on Sunday morning, and then started last Sunday, Bill had his second class this morning. My second class will be at my house this Wednesday at 7. We go from about 7 to 8 o'clock. My prayer is the end of this 30-day experience that you will see these stories from the Bible like you've never seen them before. Gain a better appreciation for God's redemptive plan for mankind through Jesus Christ, and experience a greater insight into God's love for you personally. And I am hearing that from many of you. The story we will learn from today is a story that inspired those three-word cable from the beaches of Dunkirk that I mentioned at the start of the comments this morning. It is a story of a time when the entire nation of Israel was reduced to rubble, to victimhood. But God had a plan, and He does for each and every one of us today. His plan was to work for their salvation in such a way that it turned from them from victims to victors. The same plan God has for you and for me. The stories in the book of Daniel give us some inspiring insights in how God's great salvation changes us from victims to victors. And the first such insight is this: I can be victorious because there is a God in heaven. The book of Daniel in the Old Testament is named for the main figure in the story, who was one of many exiles who was forcibly taken from their home. Then Jerusalem was conquered by King Nebuchadnezzar, and the kingdom of Judah ended by the nation of Babylon. But though he was more than 500 miles from home, among people who didn't know or worship his God, Daniel's story was just the beginning. He became an advisor to the very king who tried to make victims of him and his people, as this clip from the Bible miniseries shows.
The Jewish people are forced into exile, a 500-mile journey east to Babylon. Zedekiah is the last of King David's descendants to reign. The Israelite monarchy ends here. Jeremiah is one of the few to escape. He heads to Egypt, never to return. The people have lost their prophet, their city, and their king. Daniel has visionary powers and is forced to work in Nebuchadnezzar's court.
Has no one anything to tell me? Can you not even describe my dream? Silence is no answer. You're supposed to be wise men, sorcerers, seers. So what do you see?
Sire, forgive me. No one here can read your mind.
Then what use are any of you?
My God can. He has shown me your dream.
Then you will be able to tell it to me. Every detail.
You saw a giant statue of a man. Its head made of gold. Then a giant stone struck the statue, smashing it to pieces.
I know that much!
The statue represents the empires that will follow yours. Yours is the greatest, the head of gold.
And the star that destroys the statue.
That is the kingdom of God. In the future, God will reign over all the world, forever.
Destroyed by God?
Yes, sire.
What's your name?
Daniel.
You're a brave man, Daniel. I value that. You will serve me.
That is a dramatic summary of the story told in Daniel chapter 2. And we're going to study portions of Daniel 2, 3, and 6 to see what God has to say regarding our situations by looking at Daniel and his situation. The scene we just saw summarizes the events of Daniel 2. Daniel had become one of Nebuchadnezzar's many court advisors, and then one day the king had a dream that no one in his court could explain, so he issued a decree in order to kill them all. But Daniel and his friends asked God for help, and God answered their prayers in a vision he gave to Daniel. So Daniel told Arioch, the king's assassin, that he could interpret the dream. And that's where we'll turn to verses 25 through 28. And Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I have found a man among the exiles from whom Judah, who can tell the king what his dream means. The king asked Daniel, also called Belshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dream and the visions that passed through your mind as you were lying in bed are these. There's much more to the scene shown in the video, except that clip summarizes Daniel's wordings. There's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries with the phrase, but my God can. There's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and because of that truth, you do not need to be a victim. You do not need to resign yourself to your current circumstances. You do not have to settle for the status quo any more than Daniel did. He faced a royal decree, a contract on his life, but there is a God in heaven. You may feel like your situation is impossible, but there is a God in heaven. You may be burdened by sin or sickness, but there is a God in heaven. You may see no way to improve your dead-end relationships, your dead-end job, your dead-end life, but there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, who may redeem you from your past, who can give you boldness and confidence for the future. But that's not all, because of Daniel's story. Is your story in another way too, and that is, I can be victorious because my God is able to deliver. Daniel chapter 3 tells the memorable story of a golden image the king had made. It was mammoth, about 90 feet tall, or about the height of a 9-story building. And he issued a command that everyone in his kingdom is to bow to this image. And everyone did except for 3 Jews whose Babylonian names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't bow, and that is where we'll pick up the story in Daniel 3. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, and lyre, larp, harp and pipe and all kinds of music. If you're ready to fall down and worship the images I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and we will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not,
We want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothing, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. You and I are sometimes in the same position. We too are children of God. We too face difficult choices. We too have to decide between compromise and conviction. And we too can be victorious because, as they told the king, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Let's see how this episode concludes starting in verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor a hair of their heads singed. The robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own." Then the king promised Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the providence, or promoted them in the providences of Babylon. Now this story is not a guarantee that you'll never have to endure injury or pain. But let's remember the promises of Psalm 34:17. It says, "The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles." And let's remember the resolute faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said to the king, "God is able to deliver us, but if not, we will still not bow down to an idol." I suggest to you that it was at that moment that they became victors, not when they walked out of the fiery furnace. It was their trust in God and their obedience to Him that brought them the victory. You and I can have that kind of confidence because our God is able to deliver us. He was able to save Noah and his family from the flood. He was able to save a whole nation of people from slavery in Egypt. He was able to save the kingdom of Israel from oppression by Philistines, Moabites, and Edomites. And He is able to save and deliver you here and now today. He is able to do things for you that you cannot do for yourself. And He is able to do things with you that you cannot even imagine possible. So I can be victorious because there is a God in heaven. As Daniel said, I can be victorious because my God is able to deliver, as the 3 Hebrews said. And finally, I can be victorious because my God sent. Years later, after Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon had been conquered by a new king and a new empire, Daniel was still serving in the royal courts and still faithfully praying to God 3 times a day. But others among the court officials resented Daniel. He not only still had influence in government, but his influence was growing. So these officials plotted against Daniel and convinced the king, whose name was Darius, to proclaim a 30-day period in which no one could pray except to the king. 30 days. I know some people here are thinking, I could go 30 days without praying. I'm already going 30 days without praying. So some of you may be thinking that you could do it and it's not that big of a deal. But Daniel couldn't. Even after the decree was signed, Daniel continued his three times daily prayer without missing a beat. So the king, though he liked Daniel and had plans to promote him, had to enforce his own law. As punishment, Daniel was thrown into a den of lions overnight. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to the zoo when they feed the lions, but it's not really a pretty sight the way they tear immediately at the food. It's kind of like when we have a potluck dinner. And we know it's true. And we need to have one soon. But after the king suffered a sleepless night, the Bible says in Daniel 6, "At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to rescue you from the lions?' Daniel answered, 'May the king live forever. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty.' The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God." Let me focus for a second on verse 22. "My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions." My God sent his angel. My God sent. Daniel was saved because someone was sent. Do you know that I can say the same, and that you know that you can say the same thing also? Except in our case, an angel was not sent, but someone even greater than an angel was sent. God sent his only son. And the most familiar verse in the Bible puts it this way in the NIV. "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So I can be victorious over temptation and sin because God sent. I can be victorious over shame and guilt because God sent. I can be victorious over death and the devil because my God has sent. I can be victorious over evil and all the filth of this world because my God sent. We can all be victorious because our God sent his Son into the world. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus. Please help each and every one of us to live in constant awareness of that fact. I pray especially for those among us who may have forgotten that, who are not feeling very victorious right now, those who are facing threats, tribulations, who are passing through the fire, who may feel that the enemy is stalking them like a lion. Please give them your grace. And help all of us to live moment by moment and day by day is more than conquerors. Help us have the victory in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, 335, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Just want to remind you of the congregational meeting. If you can stay for that, we appreciate it. And, you know, the service didn't go smooth today like it does sometimes, but that's the way life is, and that's the way church services go sometimes. But I hope that you got something meaningful out of it and you could focus on that part.
As you prepare to leave this beautiful sanctuary this day, hope that you feel touched by Jesus Christ. Hope that you feel a sense of victory in your life, that you can put some of the things in your past into the past and move forward. Confess your sins and feel the victory in Jesus Christ. Hold on to Him. Whatever is going on in your life, whether it be a relationship in your spouse or your children, hold on and look to Jesus to draw closer together. If you're having financial trouble, pray to Jesus. Whatever the problem may be, look to Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. He died for you. He loves you. He cares for you. He desires to help you. Look to Him. And go from here in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.